Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's June 2018, and you're listening to episode 75 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Jeffrey Porter, who is a PhD student in the Religion and Culture program at the Catholic University of America. In the 2017 Volume 40, Number 5 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Jeff wrote an article for our Postmodern Realities column, and his article is called "Looking for Heaven at the Movies: What Our Fondness for Nostalgic Films Says About Us," and it's available free online at our website, equip.org. Jeff, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, this is a really interesting article because it was talking about nostalgia in terms of films, but of course, everyone probably has an idea of nostalgia. Sometimes we think about things in the past, like, oh, couldn't we go back to the good old days in the 1950s or something like that? But specifically, you talk about films. So could you define what you mean by nostalgia?
Yeah, I mean, nostalgia, like you said, at its core is basically just the desire for the past or some past experiences and maybe fondly thinking about the good old days. But nostalgia can also be, it could be a cultural nostalgia where a culture maybe looks back and yearns for something that they don't even remember themselves individually, but can think about their culture in a certain way. But nostalgia can also be sort of short term, right? We can remember back at the beginning of this year or this month fondly and kind of want to go back or return to that or maybe reclaim the good parts that we're remembering.
So specifically, as I mentioned, it's in your title, you were talking about, you know, our fondness as a culture for nostalgic films. So what's the relationship of, you know, the good old days nostalgia and movies?
Yeah. So, the main premise of my article is that certain movies are popular because of nostalgia. And I really started to notice this when people, when I heard people complaining that like movies weren't original anymore and all of the movies are just like sequels and reboots and things like that. And I started to first of all, look and see if that's the case. But then it started making me think about it sort of theologically. And it's true. Most of the top grossing movies, so the most popular movies, are somehow related to nostalgia, whether they are complete reboots where they take an old movie and renew it again and just make a completely new version of it, or a sequel, you know, which is like takes the story further, you know, shows us the next chapter of a story, or a prequel, which goes back and maybe examines the origins of some of the stories that we saw in an earlier movie. And this year, we see pretty much the same phenomenon. In fact, 8 of the top 10 currently top grossing movies in 2018 are somehow related to nostalgia. We've got The Avengers: Infinity War, which is the culmination of a whole bunch of movies that have come out in the last 10 years. The first Avenger movie that came out 10 years ago was Iron Man. Jumanji, which is sort of like a sequel, but it's also a little bit of a reboot because it's been so long since the original. Of course, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. It was a continuation of a very long saga spanning decades of filmmaking. And then you get some really interesting nostalgia films like A Wrinkle in Time, which is the 5th highest grossing movie so far this year, which I'm pretty sure every school child in America has had to read at some point. Peter Rabbit is also on the list, which is a beloved children's story. But then we have some interesting ones like Ready Player One, which is a movie that came out this year that's based, the source material is a novel that came out about 5 years ago. But then the novel itself, and as well as the movie, is really just packed full of nostalgia. Looking back at movie references from the 80s and 90s, as well as video games and other just kind of pop cultural iconography just shows up all over the movie. And a lot of the basic plot points revolve around actually going back and having knowledge about like a pop culture past. And then Black Panther, which is maybe a little of an outlier when it comes to nostalgia movies, because maybe not very many people know about it. Part of what has given it such a cultural force is that for a lot of African Americans, the comic book Black Panther was something back in the 80s that if you talk to people who read comic books, are one of the only examples they can give you of Black empowerment and showing Black culture in a proud way. So when that was adapted to our movie, I think that groundswell started because of that nostalgia and looking back at fond memories of this media that moviegoers consumed when they were younger.
I just want to let some of our listeners know, if they don't know already, Jeff just mentioned Black Panther, and we did a film review and a podcast on that. So go to our website, equip.org, if you would like to listen to the podcast and read the film review. I know I was thinking about that because, for example, especially the comic book heroes. So we've had like two different iterations of Batman films. So yeah, we had some by Tim Burton, and later on it was quote unquote rebooted by Christopher Nolan. But actually, the comic goes all the way back to the 1930s, which is almost 80 years ago. Do you think people, is it something that's familiar from one generation to the next? Because I'm pretty sure kids seeing, some of the Batman films now, if they're like in middle school or something and watching them on demand or something like that, they never read the original comic books from the 1930s, or maybe they're getting interested in it. Is there something familiar for parents, or what draws all ages towards something that has something about nostalgia to it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I used to be a youth pastor before I went back to school. I actually taught ninth grade English for a little while too. And I'm always fascinated when someone that's quite a bit younger than me is interested or knows something about something that I remember from my past, whether it's music or movies or things like that. And I think as far as pop culture goes, there's the iconography and just the images, something like as powerful as Batman, which is such a recognizable symbol and like just such a unique character. I think it has a lot of force and it carries a lot of weight, and it's really easy for people to gravitate towards that, and it becomes part of what they know in life, and it becomes something that they're fond of, or they at least have some sort of familiarity with it, and it brings them some sort of comfort knowing that they know a little bit about this. So that's to say, when they are deciding what movie they want to go to, if there's something like Batman, even if they didn't grow up reading the comic books or something like that, there's at least some familiarity with it that kind of draws them back. It brings them back to like fond memories when they're younger.
Something I was thinking of, especially for our post-Christian culture, is some of these pop cultural, different icons or phenomenons, they're almost like religious in a way for people who aren't religious. In other words, adults who remember the 80s will like pass down their love for the 80s by taking their kids to see Ready Player One, or because I read the book, and there's probably a ton of different, references that most kids would not even know what it is. And especially in the film, and also for our listeners, we did a film review and podcast on Ready Player One, is that, when it comes to this opening of The Shining, I mean, I already knew, oh no, this is The Shining, but other kids that were sitting there like in middle school, they had no idea what it was. So anyway, that's kind of an interesting thing that I noted. But how is nostalgia related to novelty, to something that's kind of unique and different, or just something that's an oddity?
Yeah, I think what's interesting about nostalgia, and sometimes when we feel let down by things that we remember fondly from our youth. I remember when I was in college, there was a person in our group of friends who had never seen they'd never seen the movie The Goonies, and all, you know, most of us were like, oh my gosh, that was such an important movie to my childhood. And we got this viewing party together, and we're all going to watch the movie together. But what ended up happening was a lot of us who had grown up watching that movie and kind of knew that movie inside and out, we're now watching it through the eyes of a 20-year-old or 21-year-old, you know, watching it sort of new and just realizing that it wasn't as great as we remembered it, right? It was just, it wasn't quite as amazing as remembered. We're almost a little embarrassed that we like made our friend watch this movie. What I think is going on there is when we yearn for nostalgia, when we have those nostalgic feelings, what we actually do want is something new. We want some sort of novelty. And I think the reason why this is the case is because our memories aren't as reliable as we think they are. In fact, most of our memories become distorted over time. And there's actually a lot of cognitive research that has been done on this topic, that our recollection is more like the game Telephone, where every time we recall a memory, we're actually or adding on to that original memory and changing it just to fit a certain context and things like that. So over time, we don't actually remember things very clearly, and they might be rosier than we remember or worse than we remember. So normally when we want something nostalgic, when we want to be taken back to that place that we remember, what we really want is something new, something fresh, and something that is comforting in some new way. When it comes to movies, I think this is pretty evident that, you know, some nostalgia movies fall flat. In fact, it's really hard to make a good sequel. And then the ones that are really great, the one that I talk about in the article is The Return of the King, the last installment of the Lord of the Rings movies. What makes it so good is not that it just rehashes the same things that happened in prior Lord of the Rings movies. They actually introduce new characters, and the existing characters have to undergo new challenges and face different things. And then it all, you know, comes to a head in a way that is satisfying for us. And that's what makes like a really good sequel. On the other hand, if you remember when the last Star Wars movie came out and people were upset that it just kind of rehashed the original Star Wars movie, A New Hope, they were upset because, you know, they wanted this nostalgia, but it was like too close to home. It was just sort of the same plot points, the same beats over and over again. And what they really wanted was something different, something new.
Definitely when it comes to Star Wars, you have diehard fans, and Star Wars is my favorite movie of all time, yeah, just have such strong opinions, especially on social media where you're debating people of what, you know, constitutes a good Star Wars film. And it's like the first three films, you know, going back all the way to 1976 in A New Hope, it's like nothing will ever top those. You can never get people to ever say any film is better than The Empire Strikes Back, even in younger generations who weren't even alive at the time when that first film came out, which I actually saw when I was a little kid in the movie theater. So I think it is interesting how nostalgia plays into that. You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Jeffrey Porter, who wrote an article for our Postmodern Realities column in 2017. And it was in the volume 40, number 5 issue of the Christian Research Journal. And his article is called Looking for Heaven at the Movies, What Our Fondness for Nostalgic Films Says About Us. And it's available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles like this one, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, visit equip.org. But if you already have a subscription, please get a subscription as a gift for a friend or your pastor or family member. Or you can help us out by linking this podcast on your social media accounts so people can find out how they can subscribe to our journal. Well, one thing you talk about in your article is you talk a little bit about how to understand nostalgia, and you specifically quote C.S. Lewis. So why did C.S. Lewis think that nostalgia has something specifically to do with heaven?
Yeah, so I mean, basically, C.S. Lewis wrote in his sermon, The Weight of Glory, that nostalgia is really a desire for heaven. So he takes the idea that nostalgia is a desire, and when we have those feelings of desire for the good old days or that comfort from our childhood or even just earlier, this year, a week ago or whatever it is, again, because we don't have perfect access to those memories and we don't actually remember those things exactly how we think that we do. And because we do sort of want some novelty mix in with the nostalgia, you know, we're always kind of yearning for something fresh and something new, that really what we're, our desires for is what he calls our own far off country, that is that we don't have access to. And that's our feelings towards heaven. So the Bible talks about this in terms of the word shalom. It's the idea of that, that things are meant to be a certain way. And when we have this yearning for how things ought to be or something that that you know we deeply believe ought to be a certain way, what we're looking for is this idea of shalom. And that's the way that God had originally intended the world to be, in perfect harmony with him, in perfect harmony with each other, in perfect harmony with ourselves and with nature. And C.S. Lewis says that we have a lot of feelings that sort of skirt around this issue, and we name them different things. And nostalgia is one of those things that so when we're looking back at the rosy way that our childhood used to be, we're actually reinventing something that's not actually there, that is only fulfilled when we get to heaven. He also talks about romanticism and adolescence in general in this way, that sort of pure, innocent way of thinking of the world, just the way that it's supposed to be, maybe utopian fantasies, can only be fulfilled in heaven. So nostalgia, unfortunately, can never be fulfilled by going and seeing the same movie that we saw when we were younger. So you're going to be let down. Maybe not as much as I was let down by watching The Goonies again. But it's just never going to be quite the same. And that's because those desires, those yearnings that we have are actually only fulfilled when we are in Christ in perfect holiness in heaven.
So are there other reasons why you think people are often let down by nostalgic films? I mean, we're talking about Star Wars and, you know, just that whole, for me, it was like the first movie I ever saw when I was a little kid in the theater. And so it's just like, when I go to the next, whatever Star Wars movie it is, you know, the music, that familiar John Williams theme starts playing. I feel really emotional. I see this, you know, the words scrolling up. And then if it doesn't meet my expectations, I'm just like, this isn't like when I saw New Hope when I was a little kid in the movie theater, you know? So is there specifically some other reasons why people feel just this big letdown?
Yeah, I mean, I had the same experience. I remember when I was I went and saw The Phantom Menace when it came out, and you know, I was full of so much anticipation and so excited. And just like you said, when that first music starts playing and the words start scrolling down the screen, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. And I remember me and my friends left the theater, and no one wanted to admit that we didn't really love the movie, that it had let us down. And it actually took us a couple days of maybe to sort of come to terms with the fact that I actually didn't really like that as much as I thought I was going to, or as I should. And that just comes from putting trust into it. I mean, when we first are surprised by a great movie, usually it's, we're not expecting it. You know, sometimes, you know, sequels that we go in and we're expecting to be blown away, and we actually are. And those are great moments. But I think for the most part, we're usually surprised by a great movie or a great film, and it touches us in a way that we weren't expecting. So when we put our trust into those movies and we expect them to deliver something, you know, if we're going to a new Star Wars movie and we're expecting it to deliver all of the yearnings and all the desire that we have to reclaim our childhood, then it's just not going to pan out. So, you know, the specific words that C.S. Lewis says is the books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trusted them. It was not in them. It can only come through them. And what comes through them is longing. So really, the best that these movies, these nostalgia movies, can do is to reflect back to us that this longing is something that we have. And if we as Christians can use that, it can actually, I think, help us grow in our faith.
So do you think it's wrong for Christians to enjoy these nostalgia films? I mean, should we avoid watching them?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the article, it kind of felt like I was taking down these nostalgia films, as if like, oh, these are all, if it's a misguided way of looking at the world or a misplaced desire that we are putting in these movies, that maybe I'm suggesting that nostalgia films are wrong, or Christians shouldn't be going to them or seeing them or something like that. But that's not the case. In fact, in the same sermon that C.S. Lewis talks about heaven, he describes five different promises that he's found in Scripture that we can find in heaven. And the first is that we will be with Christ, and then we will also be like Christ. The third is that we'll have glory. But it also says that we'll have some sort of vocation and position in the you know, this new, the new heavens and new earth. But it also says that it talks about us being fed, and there's feasts and there's entertainment. So I don't think there's any reason to believe that, you know, entertainment is wrong or something like that. But I also don't think that we'll have sequels or prequels or reboots in heaven as well. In fact, I think in heaven, the crowning achievement of entertainment will be remembering the glory of the cross, and the original purpose of the Garden of Eden, will be celebrated as well. So, in the meantime, as I was saying before, I think going to any sort of movie, but even nostalgic invoking movies, can help us realize that desire and recognize that that desire is actually for God Himself, and won't be realized until we're in heaven. And hopefully that can help us deepen our faith and trust in Him just all the more.
So now that people have listened to this podcast and perhaps read your article or about to read your article after they listen to this podcast, what should Christians do with knowing that some movies evoke this longing for heaven?
Yeah, so I mean, if we're going to these movies and they're affirming that desire that we have for shalom, for the world as it is intended to be, and for our future hope in heaven, then hopefully it can spur us to start to create that shalom here and now, and then we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, work alongside God at repairing those relationships that sin has torn asunder. So deepening our relationship with God, mending relationships with others, re-examining our relationship to the environment, and then understanding how we relate to ourselves and how that is been affected by sin as well.
So is there anything that nostalgia can tell us about creativity?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things that for me, you know, going down and thinking about this, you know, the phenomenon of nostalgia and just its ubiquity in filmmaking, is the recognition that we aren't true creators, that we're actually at our best when we're creating. We're only manipulating what God has already created. So God is the only true creator, but the fact that we're made in His image, our creativity is always a shadow of this. So there's, in a sense, you know, every form of creativity is sort of like a reboot or something. It's taking some sort of original source material and trying to make something different out of it. But that source material, the created world, should always point us back to God as well.
So besides film, are there any other disciplines within media and the arts that have this kind of same phenomenon of nostalgia?
Yeah, I think once you start to recognize it and maybe start looking for it, it's hard to ignore it, whether it's in music. You know, there's so many things, as hip hop becomes more and more popular and increasingly becomes one of the most popular forms of music. What's interesting about that is there's always samples and things that are from the past. And sometimes people will get into a song because they recognize the hook from a song from their childhood or something like that. And it kind of gives a little bit of credence. And like I said before, there's something comforting about hearing that same thing over and over again. It kind of allows us, you know, permission to experience this new song because it sounds so familiar. But it's all over the place. I mean, if you open up Netflix, it seems like half of the shows are either just old shows or there's reboots. I mean, the show Roseanne was just rebooted. I can't believe that Full House is still on TV. But even in sports, I mean, it's hard. Like LeBron James is currently in the playoffs, and whenever he plays, it's almost impossible for people not to comment on whether or not he's as good as Michael Jordan or where he ranks in the pantheon of great sports heroes. And there's this need to sort of look back and compare it to how things were. And I think sometimes the players in the past get even more credibility just because they're from the past. And you know, sports writers probably think that whoever was playing sports when they were a child are the best sports heroes of all time. But yeah, once you start looking for it, I think it's really hard to ignore.
I know, exactly. I was listening to a more recent Bruno Mars song, and one of his songs kind of has this hook at the very beginning, like New Jack Swing, like Belle Biv DeVoe. And it's just like, oh, I really like that song. But why do I like that song? Because it has that funky vibe from the 90s that I remember. And it just,
oh yeah,
just better to me, or better than more current songs, or better than other songs. And there's so many, especially in music, as you said, references to other, you know, time periods or things that people weave in with samples and stuff like that. So
yeah, I don't think you can go to like a sporting event and then not play something like Sweet Caroline or Don't Stop Believing. And I don't think everyone in the whole stadium starts singing just because they're amazing songs. Usually they've attached all these memories to that song, which is why they like it so much.
And then it keeps getting passed down, because several years ago when the television series Glee was really big, they were just taking older songs, kind of like the Journey songs that many kids didn't know of, and even older songs like that than that, you know, just from the 50s or whatever, where they would redo them and people would be like, oh, this is great. So it would make parents probably feel, oh, that nostalgia, but then also it would introduce kids to a whole, you know, they never were there around when Journey was, you know, Don't Stop Believing and all that. So
for
this is very interesting. So finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Jeff. So it's the summer, Jeff. Ice cream gelato or frozen yogurt?
Ooh, frozen yogurt.
And are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird.
Call or text?
Oh, text all the time.
Introvert or extrovert?
I think I'm an introvert who's forced to be an extrovert often.
There you go. Introvert socializes as an extrovert. And so it's summer. So what would you do on your ideal vacation if money was no object?
It would be a beach, a surfboard, and a stack of books.
Oh, that's a good combo. Well, thanks, Jeff, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Today's guest is Jeffrey Porter, who wrote an article for our Postmodern Realities column in the 2017 Volume 40, Number 5 issue of the Christian Research Journal. His article is called Looking for Heaven at the Movies, What Our Fondness for Nostalgic Films Says About Us, and it's available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles like this one, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, please go to our website, equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes. And when you rate and review our podcast, it helps others to find our content. So please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged. It's Hank's new audio podcast. You'll follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.